Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got one. Jared Carrero says this might be the worst mock I've ever seen. Okay.
Then we've got...
What's the point of doing mocks without trades, idiot?
Then this is the... You put idiot in there.
Oh.
And then this is the worst mock draft I've ever seen. That's a different person saying
that's
that.
A different person.
And then there's this. How the hell did you get the title draft analyst? Seems to me like you don't have the slightest of clues. This is by somebody named Johnny Appleseeds, who has numbers in their name and a picture of like and a picture of a cartoon person.
Oh, here's a good one. Y'all just employ anyone, huh?
Bijan to Buffalo, absolutely the F not.
I like that one.
Horrible Lions picks.
Y'all just employ anyone, huh?
Uh-huh.
Talking the NFL draft. Horrible Lions picks, yep. Bijan to Buffalo. Why? Okay, if I'm Buffalo, I think, okay, of all of the ones that you put on your mock draft, I think the best value is Buffalo's. At getting Bijan at what, 27?
I almost have Bijan at 9. Carolina, but.
Absolutely not. The one thing you're lacking in Buffalo is a running game.
Yeah, they're stupid. If you got Bijan Robinson to handle, you've got a guy, and you now would have Bijan as a three-down back. You've got Woods, or you got James Cook to give you the slash and dash type guy, take some pressure off Bijan. I mean, you've basically taken pressure off Josh Allen as well. You need offensive line help.
You got Bijan as your best player in the draft, right? Or top five?
Fourth. Yeah.
Fourth, yeah.
Bijan's really good.
Bijan,
I almost gave him to the Cowboys. I almost gave him to the Baltimore Ravens. I could see him being a Raven. Mm. I wanted to give him to Carolina. They really need running back, but they just have so many. They just have so many holes that I just didn't think they could start with running back. So, but I wasn't going to give him Anthony Richardson. I just think that's too dangerous.
So, but today, so we got to watch for it. Who NFL's putting it out? NFL.com.
Well, at some point when NFL see. It's kind of buried because it's a Super Bowl coming up. But if NFL.com tweets it out today, which there's a pretty good chance they will, oh, my God.
Then the vitriol.
The people who follow NFL's account are terrible people.
Worst people, West Virginia people or NFL.com people?
Oh, no, NFL.com.
Oh, yeah.
No, the people who follow the NFL Twitter account are. Not West Virginia people just like West Virginia, and they think West Virginia is the best at whatever football stuff. NFL account has people who have never seen a lot of these players who will say I'm an idiot because it's not what another mock draft said. So I clearly, they've never heard of me. They don't know me. They just employ anyone. I'll get a lot of those.
Yeah.
A lot of trash can and a lot of clown emojis, a lot of clown gifts. Stuff like that, but they, yeah. When the NFL tweets it out, there's the IQ of the tweeters goes way low, and I'll know it because my notifications will just explode. They'll just.
I love that.
Hey, we need to get Dell on today.
Why? Why do we have to?
Jessica makes a good point. She goes, "At what hour will Dell be joining the show to discuss the LeBron MJ debate? Also, will it be 3 to 4 segments of discussion?" Dell, how can we do LeBron versus MJ without
Dell? No, yeah. You can't have it without Dell. There's no question.
Now, if we called him, if RJ tried to call him, he would not answer.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't. He'd see, oh, no, I'm not doing that. The ESPN hotline.
Dell's the guy you have to text anyway.
Yeah. Dell won't answer the phone anyway. He, if he doesn't know the number, no chance he answers. And especially if he knows the number.
Yeah. Yeah, so it really, if he doesn't know it or if he knows it, he's not going to answer. That leaves nothing. Unless you have unknown caller.
Hey, yo, halfway through Super Bowl week, and we've yet to hear a peep from Adam Archuleta on how he's teaming up with his good friends at Tenactin. What goes? We're not on Radio Row. That's what we're not
that
on.
That is such a, like, Adam Archuleta for Tenactin is on death, brand.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Something happened. Everybody's okay. Stop already. Our concern is taking away property tax revenue from the Deerwood Apartments or others in the area would create.
What is this?
This is childish Altuve praying for all JG's homies during this difficult time. Tanglewood strong. Stop. It's about a tax relief thing in apartment building. Those are not my friends in Tanglewood. I don't have. Well, I do have a couple of friends in Tanglewood. So thoughts and prayers to them in this difficult time that they're having. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There are a couple of stories. One is, okay, that the Astros are actually, and I don't know, I just can't trust it, that Kyle Tucker and the Astros are in discussions, having discussions, yes.
Is this from a reputable source?
I am trying to find the
story. Do they have numbers at the end of their Twitter handle?
Listen.
Did they buy a blue check mark?
You can buy a blue check mark now, can't you? Can't you? Apparently, yeah, this is, and I'm trying to find it. But we do have, here, while I'm finding it, we do have Dana Brown's son. How about Dana Brown, the seventh ever African-American general manager? Seventh ever African-American general manager. Here he is on just that, on being the seventh ever.
You're the seventh African-American general manager now, you know, with Lucas and Watson and Kenny Williams and Michael Hill and Dave Stewart. And now you, with Jackie, let's talk about that for a second. You're a baseball guy. You don't want to think about that. Does that mean an extra something to you? Give me your thoughts about being the seventh African-American who's a general manager of a major league team.
No, it's very special. I mean, it's creating an opportunity, and I take this position very seriously because I know that I want to be a cloud of witness for, like the other guys were, all together we can be cloud of witnesses for those who are coming behind us, that it's attainable. And I know it's very difficult, but, you know, what Manfred and those guys did, you know, was create an opportunity, open up a door for us to interview and get these jobs. I think that there's more qualified African-Americans who can run Major League Baseball teams. And I have to, like, be a witness to others, and I have to do a good job. I mean, there's a little bit of added pressure, but I'm okay with it. I have the heartbeat for it.
There's no doubt who was doing the interview on that one.
Yeah, we know who was doing it.
Mad Dog Russo.
Mad Dog. Listen, here is the quote by Dana Brown. Brian McTaggart of MLB.com asked him about if they've begun extension talks with some of the younger players, such as Kyle Tucker. Tucker, we've been in conversation. Some of the stuff was started prior to me coming. We had some talks with Tucker, of course, because it's coming up on the arbitration hearing. So I don't know whether or not they have gotten into the long-term extension or it's just the arbitration. The arbitration is, he wants $7.5 million. The Astros want to give him $5 million. With the projections that I've seen about Kyle Tucker, this arbitration, I think the Astros might win this arbitration. The Astros might win the hearing.
Okay.
Which is a bad thing. Listen, $2.5 million off is a big deal. Like with Javier, they're $500,000 off. With Carlos Correa, they were $750,000 off. I thought, you know, for $750,000, major league team, a Carlos Correa who is a number one overall pick, right. You're really going to go to war with him and have you're really going to go to an arbitrator and tell him how bad Carlos Correa is over $750,000?
But you know what's funny though? If you start giving in to everybody and then you start adding it up,
yeah. Now all of a sudden, everybody, the waves rise.
much higher, much more quickly, and then you become anybody you go against. Wait. You can go against him. Why are you going against me?
Right.
That creates even more bad
feelings. But they settled with everybody else but these two. Now, for $3.5 million versus $3 million for Javier, I can see $2.5 million difference. I don't think he is going to win because of similar guys with similar stats. Kyle Tucker is projected to be about a $5.6 to $5.9 million guy, which is closer to $5 million than it is to $7.5 million. So, and they're going to have to make that argument. I don't know if Kyle Tucker is going to be sitting there and hearing how bad they think he is. I think that's a bad thing. I think going to arbitration with a guy. I've talked to guys that have gone through arbitration with teams, and they're none too pleased with the teams afterwards.
I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean,
you have to. That's why you can't be in the meetings either.
If Kyrie Irving had ever had to go to an arbitration hearing, the disrespect level that he would feel.
Oh, man. He already feels disrespected you haven't given him his money right now. Like, he's so upset that you haven't dropped bags off at his house.
Did you see that the Nets, he did say yesterday.
Yep.
The Nets disrespected him.
Guess what else he did?
With all that money.
Guess what else he did? I think he no longer tweeted. What is it my wife was telling me?
Yeah, he deleted his apology.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He deleted
it. So basically, he's like, I ain't sorry.
Yeah, I'm done.
They made me do this for the Nets.
Sorry, not sorry. So anyway,
I got the anti-Semitic thing
back
going.
To Kyle Tucker. They make two different arguments for Kyle Tucker's salary extensions. Kyle Tucker has, over his last 3 years, has an 11-point-something F-war. 11.1 over the past 3 years, an 11.1 F-war. Sean Murphy, catcher, 2 years older than Tucker. He did produce a 10.0 F-war in 3 seasons prior to a 6-year, $73 million deal with Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
6 years, $73
million.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Matt Olson produced a 9.7 F-war in the 3 seasons from 2019 to 2021 before he got an 8-year, $168 million extension with Atlanta. Seems like there's something off on these two. Mm-hmm. Matt Olson is a first baseman. Sean Murphy is one of the better catchers in baseball. Catchers don't have to put up the same kind of stats.
Right.
And comparable catchers, he's probably got a higher F war because comparable catchers, quite frankly, aren't the catching position isn't very good right now. The first base position, very good right now in Major League Baseball. So Matt Olson got himself an 8-year, $160 million extension. He had earned $5 million in his first arbitration season with the A's, though, which is what the Astros want to pay Kyle Tucker right now. Now, that was a few years ago, so you know, obviously salaries are higher, which I think probably puts Kyle Tucker at the $5.6, $5.9 million range, but not 7.5.
No.
I have a feeling Kyle Tucker is going to lose this. I also have a feeling Kyle Tucker is not signing any kind of an extension with the Houston Astros.
Well,
I do like that they are at least Dana Brown has said, yes, we are talking.
Maybe what he's not telling you is he went like this. Hey, what do you think? Would you be interested in signing an extension with us?
No.
Absolutely. What do you have in mind? Like $6,150? The one we gave Carlos? Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that. Have you had talks?
Well,
have
that would be better than the $8,168 that Olson got.
Yeah, we've been in discussions. Oh, you have? Yeah. He just didn't tell you how those discussions went.
Yeah, right.
No, great.
Exactly. Exactly. And part of it, he said, is because, well, we're talking about him with the arbitration case and whatnot. So,
would you pay him early to get 2 extra years?
Yes.
How many years?
Yes.
He's got 3, right?
Yes.
So,
yes,
would you
yes.
do a 5-year deal?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes. But he won't. He wants to.
Why would you not?
Because he wants to get the free agency.
No, if somebody gives you $22 million a year right now,
yeah,
you'd
right.
have to do the math on it.
Right. Well, as opposed to just the $5 million that you're going to get this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about really 16 additional.
Okay, what's worth more, though, getting to arbitration earlier and getting that $30 million a year
deal? Well,
I'm
doing the math on it. If you got 16 additional million dollars a year, if it escalated, let's just call it 16 to keep it clean, because obviously his arbitration numbers go up. So let's say they escalate. They start at 22. If you made $16 million a year, you're going to make $48 million more dollars
Well, this year will be $5 million. Next year probably would be about 7.
No, nah, it wouldn't because you'd be losing out on. Well, no. So 48 million.
Next year
million,
would be 7. Well, listen.
No, it would actually make sense for you, John. If you made $48 million more dollars over a 3-year span than you would have made, but then you're making $25 million for the next 2 years, or let's call it $30 million for the next 2 years. After that, then you're going to lose out. You've now paid him $48 million that you didn't have to, and now let's say it's $25 million. Now he's losing out on how much? Probably in the neighborhood of $10 million a year over the next 2 years. That's $20 million. He still makes out $28 million ahead of.
Plus,
what he
you're
made.
Not getting that long term deal if you go later than you would have. If you go into free agency later, plus they're not going to pay a 30-year-old as much as they're going to pay.
Would
a
you 28-year-old.
Buy
one extra year? Oh, you mean he'll be 28 after 5 years?
Well,
wait, how old is he right now?
I don't, yeah, see, that's...
How old is he right now?
But regardless, 2 years later, you're going to get less money in your big contract. Regardless of how old he is. 2 years, if you wait another 2 years, you're going to get less.
Why?
Because you're older. You're 2 years older.
It's possible.
Yeah. No, it's that's possible. What happens.
But you would have already gotten it on the front end.
His last year... But listen, last year of...
I just made you $48 million more dollars. That's $48 million. That's it. Let's say you make $20 million more per year. That's than you would have.
Well, it depends. See, George Springer's last year of his arbitration, he made $21 million. So you can't count on that. Kyle Tucker is only going to make whatever in arbitration. He could get a big payday if he plays really well in these 2 years.
Okay, but if you gave Kyle Tucker $25 million a year for 5 years. Okay, so we already know what his number. Let's say his number comes in at 6. Whatever, or no, it's they don't. They
it's
don't
five
split
or
it.
7.5.
Okay, let's say you don't think it's 7.5. Let's say it's 5. So he makes $20 million more than he would have made this year. And let's say you don't stair step it, so it'll be 20. It'll be about 18. It'll be about 16 or 15. Maybe you do stair step it some. Let's say the average is you make $18 million more per year than you would have made. If you do the math on it, that's $54 million. Dollars that you wouldn't have made. So if the next 2 years he's at $30 million, which would still be below market value more than likely. What is it below? $7 million below maybe market value. So he loses out on $14 million there. He gained $54 million. You're left at
$40 million.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know. I'm just from the math standpoint, but you, like you said, you know, ultimately it's the next contract where you are guaranteed the most amount of money. But would he be willing, like watching Carlos Correa, is there any chance that you saw what Correa went through? And if you're Kyle Tucker, you change your vantage point a little bit?
I don't know because he's going to, by the time it's all said and done, Carlos is going to get to his $300 million. He's going to get to his $300 million. So
wait, he may.
No, he's going to be right there.
Well, he's got to be healthy.
Well, that too.
Yeah,
he's got the worst ankle that any doctor's ever seen. If you want to know the truth, but right now,
apparently,
well, him not making 300 is probably the underdog, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure. I do know that Underdog Fantasy right now has a great offer going for you, and it's going to start it's going to start tomorrow. So tomorrow at 9 p.m. Central or 9 a.m. Central, this is what's going on. This is really you need to pay attention to this. They've got, in the big game, they have a higher or lower where you have a chance to have 0.5. Are you going higher or lower on Jalen Hurts' total yards? 0.5, higher or lower. And I know you're saying, well, it's going to be higher. What are you talking about? He can quarterback sneak it for 1 yard, and he's higher. Exactly. It's a W for you. Higher or lower. Now, you have to pair it with one more player. There's a max entry of $20. But if you get one more right, because we're all going higher on the Jalen Hurts. So if you get one more right on your higher or lower, another player's statistics, you have a chance to win 3 times your money. And that's the case with anything that you do. Anytime that you are putting together 2 players where you go higher or lower and you hit, that's going to pay 3 times your original play. If you're able to do as many as 5, and that's the max, you can do anywhere from 2 to 5, 5 times is going to pay you 20 times. If you get 5 players, it's 20 times your original play. $20 turns into $400 and so on. You guys can do the math. It's really that simple. All you have to do is download the app from Apple Store, the Google Play Store, and what you're going to do is use promo code Lance on your first deposit. They're going to match your first deposit up to $100, and this gives you a chance to play with free money. Now, remember, higher or lower for Jalen Hurts, the Jalen Hurts gimme that they're giving you, that starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow, but there's so many for you to look to right now, so make sure you download that app and check them out for yourself. Also have daily fantasy games going on for the big game as well. Use promo code Lance to get a match of up to $100. Your first deposit must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Consider with your play. Call 800-522-4700 or go to ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Come hang out with your favorite ESPN 97.5 host this Friday at Drift Bar in the Heights.
My focus is just getting prepared for the season, and, you know, letting the other stuff play it out. But I'm just trying to, you know, get prepared for the season, still working out, getting into, you know, the baseball routine. And, you know, we got spring training coming up here pretty soon, so I'm just trying to get ready for that.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
That was Kyle Tucker kind of avoiding the question of arbitration. Guys don't like it. Never do. Never will. He wants us to pay that man his money, okay? 7.5 and $5 million is a big difference. So those two are going at it. I was just shocked when I first saw Carlos Correa going to arbitration over $750,000. I was like, what? What the hell? Why would you do that?
But I just think they don't want to just keep, like, you have to fight for yourself or you give in on everybody. And it really adds up. And then on top of that, anytime you do take a stand, if everyone else you treat one way, but you're the one that's treated differently, you're going to feel some kind of way. It's the danger of arbitration. I think the way you handle it, number one, the player should never be involved. Number two, I think teams have to kind of soft sell
stuff. But that tells you a little bit about, because listen, they gave George Springer $21 million his last year of arbitration.
Yeah, but they also intentionally kept his clock down.
But so what? I mean,
you had screwed that man from being in the major leagues and getting paid earlier. George Springer didn't get this big contract.
That was already done, though. There was no recourse for that for him.
Well, I know, but maybe this is like, hey, you know what? We know we hurt you on the front end. We'll help you a little bit here with this arbitration.
Yeah, I don't know that they think like that. But I told me, listen, when Carlos Correa came to arbitration, dude, we ain't paying you. And when it came to getting his big contract, dude, we ain't paying you. I think they felt a certain way about Carlos Correa. I mean, as much as they love, you know, and outwardly and all of that stuff, they had a dollar value on Carlos that they weren't getting off of.
Yeah, you think it was because of the injury stuff?
I don't know. Maybe. I think some of it. But I mean, George was injured too.
Well, I think that if you look at time play, they probably have, obviously, they factor in injury. They factor in your performance relative to the times you play. There's a value. I'm sure that based on who they had running the team, they probably had numbers based on Carlos's performance, not just in games he played, but in all the games, over 162 games. They probably have 162 game, or maybe there's a certain amount of games they factor in as break days, and they put that in there. Let's just call it 152 games. How do you play over 152? Maybe they take performance, look at it over 152, and they say, what's your performance over 152? And with Carlos, it's much lower. Well, I was saying that maybe they factor in break days.
Yeah, right.
Maybe they factor in a certain amount that they plan on getting players a certain amount of break days. But they may just say, all right, we're going to have a formula that factors in games played. And if that's the case, then Carlos obviously would end up well below, because he had so many years where he didn't. Same thing with Lance McCullers. But Lance McCullers got, you know, he got a pretty good payday.
$85 million ain't a bad payday.
Yeah, he got a pretty good payday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that ain't bad.
And he missed a lot of time.
All right, quickly, there's an article here because we're way behind. What are you? So much about Yuli. I'm seeing a story, but it just seems like every day. Right now, would you sign Yuli for $3 million?
I mean, I would.
I'm worried about Papa. I honestly am.
I know, but I don't think you have to worry about that. I just don't know.
I think he'd look at the end of the bench, and there's Yuli sulking at the end of the bench.
The only place you could play him is DH. It's the only place.
No, you can get rest Abreu and pay him at first.
Actually, you couldn't even play him at DH.
You can play him in second base. Absolutely, you can.
Okay, well, get away. But, yeah. What's the big deal? No, like, right. You're not playing him more than Altuve.
But that's the problem, here's the deal. Do you want to get Hensley on the field?
I'm not worried about – he was a really good first – he was a good defensive first baseman. Dusty didn't have better options at first. I don't worry about Dusty. I think you've got a good option at first now. Now, I like what you just said there. I think Pedro Leon may be getting some time in the bigs. I think Hensley, same as you got with him as a hitter. I think it would be more about...
Do you think that's what it's more about is that, hey, it's time to get these young guys in?
I think developing young guys is... Well, there's a reason he hasn't been signed up to this point.
Yeah.
And the fans want to sign him for sentimental purposes. But the Astros are not a sentimental organization, and rightfully so.
No.
I'm glad they're not.
They win.
You know, we can say pay that man and all that, and they're like, no, we'll wait and go to Carlos Peña. Mm-hmm. We'll be fine.
All right. The 33rd team has a mock draft out as well.
Jeremy Peña.
Who
Carlos
do you think Peña. They've got number one overall? Might be a bit of a surprise. But you know what else is a surprise? When you got a bad knee and you can't run.
Yeah, that is hopefully it's not a surprise. My wife has the bone-on-bone issue with her knee, but she didn't even see it coming. And as one day she just couldn't. She's like, my knee locks out right here. I can't bend it any more than this. And it continued to be a problem. We got the MRIs and got some really bad news. And so reached out to QC Kinetics, and they started a process. And it was a longer process because that is a very severe issue, trying to regrow. You know, do you have any cartilage left? If so... You know, they have processes that can regrow cartilage. They can restore and regenerate damaged tissue. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff that QC Kinetics is able to do through the biological therapies that are really amazing. And professional athletes are using this type of biological therapy to continue their careers or to become to reduce chronic pain. And that's what you can do. For a lot of us, having joint pain and arthritis in different joints, it's something that once it happens, it's only going to get worse unless you go to QC Kinetics. I mean, you can take your shots. You can get your surgeries. That's downtime. That's drugs. The shot is only temporary. You have, surgeries for that require you to miss a bunch of time, not to mention the pain medicine you have to take. All natural biological therapies can reduce a ton of your pain and really get you back to where you need to be. QCKinetics.com. Call for your free consultation at 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, the 33rd team, pretty good. I mean, a lot of really outstanding people work there. The 33rd team has, as their number one overall pick,
C.J. Stroud.
Correct. To the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I figured you would come with that. I have not seen this yet, but you said it was unexpected, so it has to be Stroud.
Mm-hmm. So.
Texans, Bryce Young.
Texans get Bryce Young. And then,
third is, who drafts third? Who's the third pick? Who's the third, the team?
The team with the third overall pick, Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona, I'm going to go Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Because they need a pass rusher.
And then
four would be Bears would go Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's Seattle, Tyree.
And if the Bears get Will Anderson instead, oh well.
That's actually the exact same draft I had. Just different.
Just in different order.
Just different order.
Right.
Well, 1 and 4. Yeah.
And it could actually turn.
It actually could go like that.
Okay, if the Bears don't trade with the Texans or the Colts, do you see any other trade?
Sure, Raiders.
Raiders at 7?
Carolina Panthers. Yeah, but although Panthers may not have.
So the Raiders would give up the 7th overall pick and next year's first. Is that more attractive than the Texans number two overall pick and 33rd pick?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're outside of the top five.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Because if you flip-flop one and two, you for sure get your guy. You go to seven, you'd have to get back up into the top four.
Yeah.
So unless you could get the Colts to bite to move backwards, and I don't think you're going to. So, yeah. No, you can't move to seven. Can't move to seven. Can't do it. It would take a big pack. You could consider it. You could consider it based on what the draft package is.
Carter's gone.
If Tyree Wilson goes, then you're looking at like
Anderson's gone.
You can draft Peter Skoronski, move him to guard. They need offensive line help at guard. You could draft another corner to pair with Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, although,
they just drafted Kyler. They just drafted a kid from Washington. So,
who are your top two corners?
The top three are Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, Joey Porter Jr. Penn State, and Devon Witherspoon. A lot of people like Witherspoon highest at Illinois. Those are probably the three highest. Then you get into, you know, Keely Ringo from Georgia is going to be, I think, a back end of the first type guy.
Big dude.
I'm missing somebody else who I'm not as high on that some other people like. But it's not a great cornerback year. I like those three guys.
But you have two corners going pretty high.
Yeah. It's actually not bad. I got Christian Gonzalez, he's going to jump 42 inches. He's going to run really fast. He's 6'1", 200 pounds. Like, he's got some freaky size, speed, athleticism stuff with him. Really freaky. And I think he's talented. And I'm telling you, Detroit has to get a cornerback. Detroit is terrible on the back end. They've got to get a corner. Got to.
They're up there too. They're up there in the draft.
They got two.
The draft order is Bears, Texans, Cardinals, Colts, Seahawks, Lions, Raiders, Falcons. So the Colts, Jim Irsay asked about his coaching search. Jim Irsay says it's going to be days, not hours.
That tells me.
That's it. The only thing it tells you is that they're waiting on somebody from the Eagles.
Shane Steichen.
It could be Gannon.
Oh, yeah, it could be Gannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that. Have they interviewed Gannon, too? I don't know. I'm sure they've interviewed over 14
everybody.
people, so I'm sure they have. I talked to one of the guys from the staff. He was at Senior Bowl. I'm like, Ballard didn't even come. Ballard didn't even go to Senior Bowl, the GM. He's interviewing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's spending anywhere from 4 to 6 hours with every candidate, and he's like, this is incredible. I'm learning so much about the way teams practice. About, you know, certain teams, they're giving their day off on Wednesday and they're going hard on Thursday as opposed to the opposite. Some teams, like, he's using this as a chance to probe every. He's enjoying talking to them, but he's probing them for the way they see football. He's trying to learn things philosophically from other organizations. Besides just interviewing you, he said, "How do y'all do this? How do you want to do it? How would you do it? How would you?" And he's like, "Man, I've learned so much through talking to all these guys. It's been unbelievable."
Really?
And that's, I never really thought of it being a chance for the people interviewing to learn from some of the people they're interviewing about different ways
Absolutely.
To do things. It's actually not a bad idea. He's like, "I'm in no hurry. I want to interview as many guys as I can."
That's funny.
Well, done it.
Now some guys are gone by the way. Although there were only five openings, so it's not like.
Yeah. Yeah, and D'Amico, like, I think D'Amico was locked in on Texans.
Yeah.
And I think Texans were locked in on D'Amico.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
D'Amico!
And you can't have a better candidate. It just doesn't get any better than D'Amico Ryans. I think we know that. And if you don't know it,
if you can get
D'Amico, if you don't know it, then Twitter will tell you.
Right, and if you can get D'Amico and Will Levis together, what an unbelievable. Mm. This city will be on fire from people setting fires because they're so mad.
Why is Will Levis would be just fine. Will Levis might be the best quarterback in this draft.
He might be. I didn't think Josh Allen was going to be, and he was the best quarterback in that draft. So, Will Levis might be the best quarterback in this draft. We'll find out. I've done this for too long to realize that just because you have a certain feeling about a guy, that doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
We'll see him play. But Josh always had that swagger. Like, Josh was a fearless dude. I don't get that same vibe from Levis, but we'll see.
I found him, not this year, but the previous year. He was a tough guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's very tough. He played through three injuries that two of them, they said, would have sidelined pretty much every player.
Yep.
There's nothing I like more than tough players. Cedric Tillman, wide receiver for for Tennessee. Cedric Tillman fractured his Cedric Tillman had a high ankle sprain and had it's called not a tightrope, but he had, I think it's, there's some kind of procedure you can have where you tighten up the loose ligament in your ankle so you can get on the field faster. Instead of just taking the year off, that dude came back and played with a high ankle sprain and played the entire year hurt. And was the year before, here's what, you want to know what Cedric Tillman did the year before? Let's see. He put 200 on Georgia and he put 153 on Alabama. Like, what? Cedric Tillman did that against Georgia and Alabama, the two teams in the national championship. He did that the year before for Tennessee. This year, he came back from it. No one's talking about him. He came back from an injury and tried to play with a high ankle sprain. He had a surgery just so he could get back on the field and play. I wrote up another guy yesterday, Jalen Graham from Purdue. He fractured his tibia in week one and made it back October 10th. He, like, had a surgery and made it back and played injured. Like, he didn't play injured. He played with some pain. He wasn't 100%. These guys who are, and then you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who everyone thinks just sat out. Just like,
eh. Yeah.
As soon as he had a hamstring injury, he's like, I'm done. I'm not going to come back. I'm telling you, NFL teams, they look at guys who are team guys, and they give them, they really give them a lot of props. If Jaxon Smith-Njigba runs a 4.6, everyone's upset because I didn't have him in the first round of my mock draft. If he runs a 4.6 and he missed the entire year, where people think that he didn't, you know, want to come back and play, kind of like Derek Stingley did. Well, that's what people think about Stingley, at least. I don't know if it's accurate or not. There's some people who are going to look at it a certain type of way. I can tell you that. You run a 4.3, no one cares.
Right.
But you run a 4.6, and you're in a system, and you've got only one year of production, just that one year. I don't know if teams are going to just, you know, think that you love playing.
All right, we got to take a break. 703-780-3776. Come on and get in on the conversation. Right now, though, you got to talk about insurance.
Good. TGS Insurance. I got a chance to put an average of $900 in your pocket for people who switch over. People who switch over to TGS Insurance. Well, you're not switching to TGS Insurance. They're an aggregator of A-rated insurance companies. What they do is they shop all of these companies in a matter of seconds. You can have a firm quote from an insurance company that has been shopped along with multiple other A-rated companies, and you can get the price within 15 seconds. How incredible is that? Within 15 seconds, you can have a firm quote on your homeowner's insurance. And if you want to add, the flood insurance or more insurance for jewelry or a gun safe or whatever it is that you're in your home, you can add additional insurance. But their coverages are standard coverages, which are still pretty strong, and that's for A-rated companies. And you don't have to stay on the phone for hours. They're shopping all these companies with their algorithm in 15 seconds. You're getting a firm quote on a text message. It's incredible. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323, TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, it is Super Bowl week, and we'll get you guys in here. Eddie wants to talk about the Texans. Quickly, best Jalen Hurts Super Bowl props.
Okay.
Anytime touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Pretty much, I'm going to nail all of these. Anytime touchdown, pass or run.
Pass or run?
Oh.
No.
Run?
Running touchdown.
I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
What does that pay?
It's even money.
Yeah. I'm not really giving you a...
Plus 105 is all it is.
I still think you're going to see it.
Under over 1.5 passing touchdowns.
Under over 1.5. Man, that's a tough one. I mean, they had four rushing touchdowns last game. Devontae, if they get, I mean, how many touchdowns are they going to score? I've got them scoring three. I've got 27-24.
Yeah.
So I've only got three touchdowns, and I've got Jalen scoring one on the ground. I'm going to say under.
Jalen Hurts under over 238.5 point passing yards.
I'm going to say under. I think they're running the ball.
You've got the same as all of these.
I do?
They got anytime touchdown. They've got under at 1.5.
Oh, you mean based on the odds?
Under 238, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This website, that's picking. They agree with you on all three of those.
So those are the odds on favorites?
Yeah. Well,
is that what you mean? Or that's out?
That's what they're giving out.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're giving
out. What site is it?
It is
Johnny's Bettatorium?
Odds Checker.
Odds Check? Okay.
Odds Checker. And it's, I don't know. I think there's a possibility of two passing touchdowns.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
I think
that's
hard.
The one. That's the hardest one.
They're hard to predict because they, Jalen in a game could get either three, you know, they could go with three rushing touchdowns or three passing touchdowns. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I have a, you know, Kelsey's going to have a big game. Oh, big surprise. How does anyone not, how does Travis Kelce, how are their defenses where Travis Kelce still gets open? Like when he'll block and then release.
And nobody's
you
there.
Know that's like, how do you not, how's it not like a box and one in basketball right. where only one guy just says, I'm never leaving Jalen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never leaving Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever, ever. How does that not, you have quarterback spies. How do you not have a Travis Kelce spy?
No.
You know that's where he's going, especially inside the 20. You can't let I'm interested to go see, like, what kind of game has Travis Kelce had against the Patriots? Because Bill Belichick is famous for not letting the best players beat him. I wonder what he's done against the Patriots' lifetime, if they've actually found ways to slow him down. Pretty much no one's really slowed him down.
Oh, yeah.
Have there been?
Yes. When he played here...
Oh, well, the Texans are known for being Kelce stoppers.
When he played here, who was the cornerback that went to the Jaguars from the Texans?
A.J. Bouye.
A.J. Bouye. Yeah. Shut
Bouye
him down.
Bouye was a
Kelce killer. Yes, it was years ago. Like, he was a Kelce killer. Thank you, good night.
7 years ago?
That's right.
Was Kelce Bouye in the league?
Yep. A.J. Bouye, baby.
Shut up. He was a Kelce killer?
I was. He had a huge... Kelce did nothing against
him.
Well,
I mean, that's a corner.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder how he'd do against Kelce.
And he's a little bit bigger, too.
I want to see if I can find teams. Here he is. Teams. So, when he plays Houston, he is 4-2 against Houston. He averages 11.6 yards a reception, which is not high. I think it's about in the middle. He's had three touchdowns. So, this is...
Yeah, but look at his game logs. I think might have been one of his first games against
Houston. I mean, three touchdowns in six games. It's not like he's going off against Houston.
No.
He averages 9.8 yards a target and 75.2 yards a game. So if you look at his yards per game, let me see if I can. That won't do it for me. But 75.2 yards a game. The worst, Dallas Cowboys, 49 yards a game. He only averages 49 yards a game.
Against the Cowboys?
Oh, no, the lowest, the Saints. He's played the Saints four times. He averages 46 yards a game against the Saints. Then the Dallas Cowboys, 49 yards. New England Patriots, who are known for slowing you down, he's averaged 66 yards a game. He's played them, he's 4-1 against them. He's played them five times. Yards per reception, 11.79. So he's done a pretty good job. He's done a pretty good job. Yards a game, you know who he slaughters? Falcons. He's played them two times, and he's averages 119 yards a game. That's the only team. No, Washington also, but that's only two games. Of the teams he plays often, or that he's played four games or more. Houston's up there. They've allowed 75.2 yards a game. Jacksonville Jaguars allow 81 yards a game. Broncos 75.9. I mean, he's pretty consistent. If you play him four games or more, he's eventually going to get to you. Ravens 87 yards a game. 75 yards a game is a good game.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good. That's not bad at all.
He's never scored a touchdown against the Carolina Panthers.
In
the Minnesota Vikings.
This was the game, I think. In 2016, was Bouye still here? I believe. He had five receptions on seven targets.
Bouye
just
was
34
not,
yards.
I don't think Bouye was here.
11-yard long. That was in 2016, Bouye?
feels like AJ Bouye was gone before then. I'll check. 16, I don't think. Let's see. AJ Bouye was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, he's only 31 right now. So maybe. Jacksonville. Yeah, you're right. That was his.
That was his game.
Yeah, he was 13
to 16.
He only
had 34 yards against AJ Bouye.
13 to 16. He's officially a Kelsey killer.
He's a Kelsey killer.
And that was Kelsey's third year in the league. Jacksonville, he was there for just 3 years, a little bit of a disappointment. He flamed out. I mean, he's only 31 right now.
And he was considered, he was the one of, if not the best, free agents, free agent corners in that market. And the Jags got him and he sucked. That's great. Eddie is here. Hey, Eddie.
Well, he did have six, he did lead the league his rookie year for Jacksonville, six interceptions, but it was all downhill from there.
Yep. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, John. Hey, Lance. Just want to say I'm a big time fan. Really enjoy listening to you guys every morning.
Thanks, Eddie.
Y'all have really great take. So thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you. What's going on?
Well, before you get to that, LeBron or Jordan, who's the greatest of all time?
No.
What? I want to know what Eddie has to say about
it. Eddie
this.
Doesn't. He hates LeBron. What's going on, Eddie?
We don't know that.
That couldn't be more true. I'm
See?
Not a LeBron fan. So I won't even go there, guys. MJ is the man, always will be.
Thank you.
Hate.
Whenever he said he loves the show, you know he's smart.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm a diehard Texans fan. I've only missed two games in the past 5 years, for the better or worse, but I think things are looking up. You know, obviously we're looking to the draft right now. I've heard you guys talking about Will Levis, but I think it probably comes down more to Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. And I really like Bryce Young. I'm a little concerned about his size, but wanted to get y'all's take on who the better prospect is here for the future of the Texans. And we really need to get this one right. So I just want to get your thoughts.
You know,
I think that's a tough question.
If C.J. Stroud could play every game like he played Georgia or be in that neighborhood with his size, and now he showed that he's willing to move around, he's like 218, I
think. Is he that big?
Yeah.
He looks skinnier than that.
C.J. Stroud. Yeah, you've said that before. No, C.J. Stroud has pretty good size. Let me look it up. They don't really recruit small. He's 6'3", 218. Mm. 6'3", 218. So, and he's got, you know, some thickness in his lower half, which is where a lot of the injuries take place. You worry about shoulders all the time. But, and he actually moved around. Like, his unwillingness to move and run and has really bothered me over the last 2 years. That game, it was totally different. And so, I don't know. It could be, that really could be a tougher choice for the Texans. If they watch that Georgia game and they say, man, this is what I don't think it will. I think Cal wants to ride the hype train and go with Bryce Young. And I saw people saying, you're not giving Cal credit or come on, do better, Cal. I honestly, this is an honest opinion. I think the owner can step in and get whoever he wants whenever he wants. I know that Nick Caserio, but if it comes down to Bryce Young's not a bad quarterback. So let's let's quit acting like they would be drafting Bryce Young would be drafting some kind of, you know, a teacher's pet or just somebody like Jerry Jones drafting a guy from Arkansas. That's really not true. I mean, Bryce Young is obviously a very good player. I do think that if you had an equal conviction about two players, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, I think ownership will push a little bit to go with the more popular player. I do. I think that's where they are right now. They are trying to get people back on their side for the first time.
Don't draft like that. Draft who you think is going to be the better player.
I know.
Don't draft like
just,
that.
I never advocate for that. I'm just saying, I don't think it's – do you think it's crazy for me to say that?
I don't think it's crazy. No. I think for the first time they've ever had to sell tickets. I've said this countless times. And it sucks because you don't draft like – of course, they sucked at drafting anyway, whether or not they needed them or not. Whether or not they needed fans or not. But don't draft because you think the guy's more popular. Draft because you think C.J. Stroud. Draft C.J. Stroud. Draft Will Levis.
But
because you think Will Levis is going to be a better player.
Wait, but did you save that cut? Draft Will Levis.
Hmm.
Save that and use that against
Jeremy.
John.
You know who loved me for that?
Jeremy Branham.
Jeremy Branham.
But Yeah, but sometimes, listen, I'm going to give you an example. Sometimes the best player and the player that the fans want align. Like with a kid from Akron. There was a kid from Akron years ago. His name was LeBron James. He was the best player, and he was a popular pick. Sometimes you get they come together. They come together.
You're a bad person.
LeBron James,
a bad person. 9 o'clock on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Guys, we get you all in here on the other side. Right now, though, we're talking about Artis and Grange. We're talking about Canstead and Dublend, which are the two different types of dip. Now, it's dip, right? But it's not dip. It's hemp in a pouch. Made of hemp with CBD, but it's got your wintergreen flavor. It's got your citrus flavor. It's got your tobacco flavor. It's got your whatever flavor that you want. I bet there's about a billion different flavors that you can choose from, okay? Dark fired, mint, straight. I don't know what does straight taste like. I have no idea. But if you like your dip straight, okay, as opposed to crooked, if you love wintergreen like Tim, my boy, Tim Loadici. He loves wintergreen. That's what he wants. Okay, we're going to get that for you. I've got to get it for you. Whatever it is, whatever kind of dip that you like, whatever flavor, how about do this instead because it's healthier? How about this? Do this instead because it's just better for you? How about do this instead because it's got CBD in it and that's going to help you too? All of these things are going to help you. Stop already with the dip and the tobacco and the nicotine and the stuff that can hurt you. Go with the stuff that can help you. 975dip.com, 975dip.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.